That we have together, and I believe I have such a great sense of anticipation in my spirit for what the Lord has prepared for us. How many of you know Jesus always goes ahead of us and He prepares for us? He prepares blessing. He prepares deposit. He prepares, and I just feel in my spirit that God has prepared something good for us. I don't know about you, but I want to get everything that God has for us. We're together tonight, tomorrow evening and Thursday evening. And we will start tomorrow evening. We will start promptly at 7 o'clock. We have other church programs that go on every Wednesday evening that begin at 7. And so we do expect that there'll be quite a few more people with us tomorrow night who are usually here on Wednesdays. And we will start promptly at 7 o'clock tomorrow and again on Thursday. One thing I'd like to share just before I bring Yanni and Sarah to minister to you. We would like to receive an offering this evening at the end of the night tonight for Yanni and Sarah. They've come all the way from Thailand. They come at their own expense and travel here in North America on their own expense. And they have come to make a deposit in us tonight. And so we want to make a deposit, a practical deposit in the ministry, in their ministry. And so tonight, there is going to be an offering plate on either side of the back door. And as you leave this evening, I just want to encourage you to just give as generously as you can to Jan and Sarah. If you are making out a check this evening, you can just make it out to Harvest Time Church. And we're going to put everything together from these three nights and give it to Jan and Sarah as a blessing into their ministry. And so remember to take care of that. Jan has teaching for us. There's going to be prophetic ministry, I believe, this evening and all three nights. And so depending on what's happening at the end of the service this evening, you may need to leave before some others do. So remember to give as generously as you can to Jan and Sarah. I want you to give your very warmest welcome tonight for our dear friends, Jan and Sarah Nell.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. How are you? That's good. I have to tell you, we're going to have to change the way we're sitting. You do know that. Because tonight I really need you up by me, not at the back. So won't you please just quickly find places up in the front. It's going to change the whole atmosphere of what we do. If you'll do that for me, I'm very grateful. Thank you. Thank you. That's very good of you. How many of you have attended a Father's House training? The last Father's House training I did. I know Melody has done that. Has anybody else? You've done it, Barbara. Okay. Two people. All right. How many of you is the first time you hear me preach? Okay. Okay. My English is superior. So, like Glenn always says, he says we jokingly speak about you when you're not here. We've got a great friend called Chris Bird, and he says, they always, when they're talking about me, say, I know a man called Chris Bird. Like, there's mothballs in my mouth or something like that. I don't talk like that, do I? Thank you. You're on my side tonight. I feel good. Father's House is a course that is very dear to my heart. It is dear to my heart because from the very beginning of my Christian ministry, I determined to fulfill what God called me to do. What God called me to do was really found out of the book. Thank you, my babe. Bless you, baby. What was my calling was found in Matthew chapter 9. And you don't have to go there. I'll tell you what it says. It speaks about Jesus looking over the crowds, and he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that there is more harvest.
No.
What did he say? Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he what? Thrust workers into the harvest field. The problem is not the harvest, the problem is workers. We are more and more wanting to see this world impacted by the power of God, don't we? We really want to be a part of the end time harvest that God is talking about. We want to win souls, see people transformed by the power of God. But how ridiculous is it that we in fact want to see that, but nothing really in church is moving us more towards that? In my experience, I saw nothing moving us more towards the place of being a harvester, a laborer, a person who goes and fetches the unsaved and then transforms them by the power of God. And so when I first heard that scripture, it was being preached by a man called Neil Gibbon, and as he was preaching it, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to train workers for my harvest field. You must understand, I'm a couple of months old as a Christian. I have no idea what that means. And so from that day onwards, burning in my heart is this desire to see people equipped and enabled to go and do what we're all supposed to do. Win souls and develop them into maturity. Make them ready to be harvesters themselves. Further in my Christian walk, I come across Matthew 28. Somebody preaches one day, Matthew 28, 18. And again, I see the scriptures say, in context, Christ is now about to ascend. This is his last will and testimony. Just before my father died, in 1997, July, I spent a lot of time with him. He was very funny. He used to phone me up, and he'd say, son. So I said, yes, Dad. He'd say, are you busy? As if I sit in my office with my feet on the table waiting for something to happen sometime. So I always said, not very, because I knew he would never phone and say, are you busy, if he didn't want to see me. So he'd come over to my office, and he'd say, come on, let's go out for lunch. And we'd go out for lunch together, and we'd sit and talk, and it was, there were difficult times for him. He was going through a very, very difficult time. And while he was going through that time, he said to me, son, I want to change my will. I want to change it from what it is. I've thought long and hard about everything that's happened in our family, and I want to change my will. He told me what he wanted to do with the will. I can't tell you about that. But he redesigned the whole will and had it written up, but never had time to deposit it with the bank. And so when he passed away, I had the choice of giving the will in to the bank, which would have destroyed the family forever. And I really chose to leave it. It really meant I was going to be the one person that benefits from everything. And so I left it. But it made me think, what is that? Snarly papers. It made me think about Jesus in context. That when he was about to ascend, he spoke to his disciples. And he said to them, guys, this is what I want. This is my heart. All authority in heaven and earth is now given to me. I've done the job. D. The enemy is under my feet. I'm established as the head. I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. That was Jesus' last will. That was his desire. That was his heart. And somewhere in the whole process, we miss this. This was the burning issue for him. He's saying, we want young men, young women, all the body to be trained up, equipped, enabled to go and win souls and train them, disciple them, bring them into a place of maturity. Make them look like me. And so those two things have burnt in my heart for years. And so Father's House became very special to me because there came a time in my life where I stepped out of the ministry. I stepped out of, not out of serving the Lord in full-time manner, but I stepped out of the pulpit. Let me put it that way. I just gave up preaching every Sunday, and I gave my heart to now focusing on a group of people. I did a trial run on something, which I called Father's House. Because I had got another revelation that indeed, if you could find the fathers in the body, those fathers have an anointing to touch sons and daughters and to form them into a massively well-equipped, mature group of people. I really believe that stuff. I really do. And so came the next piece to me was this concept of fathering. And I realized that if you can get the blessing of a father down to a son, if you could just get to a young man that has never had a father impart blessing. Tonight, I made a mistake in the food. I stole some food. I have to confess. Sarah cooked. I came out of the bedroom. We planned to eat later. I was hanging around a little bit. And so I lifted the lid off the pot. It was like, oh. So I took a little spoon and I sipped and I sipped and she came and caught me. So she said, if you're going to eat, eat. So, well, I didn't need another bit of encouragement. I took some noodles and I put some of this beautiful stuff in. And I started eating. I saw two bowls of whatever. One was onions and the other looked like crushed peanuts. That looked great. So I threw crushed peanuts and stuff on my food and it was garlic. I don't like garlic. So it's got that, you know, my mouth feels like it's burning in the back. I don't enjoy it. And the bad part is when I get close to people, I can feel like, you know. So when you, if tonight if I come and pray for you, please don't fall because you're trying to get away from the smell, okay? Turn your head, duck or do something, but don't fall, all right? Don't have to fake it. But you know, I found that a father could take a young man when there's a true heart relationship and he could impart to that young man or young woman life from the heart of the Father God. There is a channel. We are the channel as father figures. The beautiful Pastor Glenn is a father in this church. He has an anointing to bring up sons and daughters and to impart to them something which transforms them totally. Isn't the son beautiful? It's just lovely. I feel sort of excited when I see it pouring in. Like supernatural. Oh, it's that. I'm feeling like I'm glowing. I'm looking for where the light's coming that's lighting me up. Oh, and I missed. I'm sorry, I tried. I scrubbed like crazy and I used the hair dryer and it didn't work. So I just said, I forget it. If I look like a slob, I look like a slob. I tried to look good. I really did. I want to respect you. But so I found that next ingredient that you can, as a father, minister to somebody. Take them and if you have this heart connection, what's your name? Ryan. If you have this, don't be worried about me. I'm a normal human being, Ryan. I promise you. So if we have this heart connection, I can pass to Ryan, as long as there's a relationship, where three things have happened. You love me, you trust me, and you respect me. And likewise, I to you. Those are the channels through which life flows. And amazingly, I took 35 people, put them through a training process just like this, based on a relational connection. I stood in front of them the first night I met them. I knew none of them. I stood in front of them, and I just said to them, if you're going to do this course, do not miss anything else that I do with you from now until we finished. I want your 100% commitment that you will totally commit yourself to this course. Because if you miss one thing, you miss a piece. You miss a piece, it won't flow the way I want it to. For 2 years I trained them, and today I've just been back to South Africa and I did a bit of homework, and all of them are involved in some form of full-time ministry, touching lives all over the place. And none of them were involved in ministry in any way before that. So I want to tell you, this course really works. And I realize the key to the course, listen to me, the key to the course was not only this fathering, but a process called a rabbinic method of discipleship. Now, many of you have been around me long enough have heard me say this many times, but let me, for the sake of those who've never heard me teach this, the rabbinic method of discipleship is made up of four simple parts. You've got to remember this, because you're going to do this in the years ahead. I'm trusting that this is the beginning of a group of people that are going to rise up to be the workers that pull in a harvest. Okay, we'll just try and get a little more excited than that. I'm really serious. I honestly believe that if this is initiated and this can keep flowing, not just through me but through the leaders involved, there will be a group of people that honestly have a major impact within their community, not just in church but beyond the borders of this church, really bringing in the lost, really impacting people who have never heard the gospel. I'm telling you, it did it with the groups I've trained. I'm telling you, I've put many people in the ministry. This works. It really works. But I need 100% attention, commitment, and you need to work with me. Don't sit there going, well, I'll watch everybody else try this. I want you, if I say we're going to do something, everybody is going to do it. That's five of you. Everybody is going to do it. I mean it, guys. This is, don't approach this. This is not a casual evening. This is not a night out where you just come and hear a guest speaker preach. This is not what it's about. I am going to do an impartational 3 nights with you that will forever change your life. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The level you're expecting is the level you're going to get. And so not only do I want to do the stuff with you, I want to somehow teach you to keep going and do it with other people. You understand? Put it in your own hearts and lives and make it yours. So I realized that it needed a father and it needed a system, a method, a program, a process. And so I found that there was, in Jesus' ministry, 4 simple steps that he took to equip these incredible human beings. Guys who knew nothing. You know, people that were not involved in any religious format at all. These were ordinary, basic workers. And in 3.5 years, he from zero to hero. 3.5 years. I have to tell you something. 20 years after being saved, and we still don't know how to win the world and change it, something's wrong. I've been born again for 34 years. It took me 20 years to get to a place where I was doing something just about. It's too long. For you, it's too long. And we've got to, in these 3 nights, leave behind. By the way, I'm not doing the whole course. I'm doing 3 nights. I'm doing the first part of the course. Okay, so don't feel like you're walking out of here and you've had the whole course. You have not had the whole course. You're having 3 nights. It's the first module. But it will bring a major change in your life and your situation, if you'll work with me. Okay, so the rabbinic method, what does it look like? Number one, the rabbinic method is about information. The second, if you're writing, it's a good time to do it. The second is demonstration. The third is impartation. And the fourth is application. Let's go again. The first is information. The second is demonstration. The third is impartation. And the fourth is application. Let me explain what that means. Very simply, Jesus did this. He taught the disciples in the realm of function. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The rabbinic method of development was not just in the realm of them learning how to live life. It was specifically in the realm of them being able to function in the power of God. And so their functional abilities came out of the Lord saying, for instance, here, let me explain. Jesus is showing them what healing is all about. He's giving them, first point, information about healing. You understand? Here they get the information. They understand healing. Now they know what it's about. The second thing he does is he moves not only into the information about healing, he does a demonstration of healing. The unfortunate part of much of our discipleship programs is that the people who are trying to train us can't do what they're teaching. You know what I'm saying? So many pastors have never learned successfully how to move in healing. Many pastors have never, ever had to deal systematically with demonic cases and get them delivered. So Jesus doesn't only tell them about it, he now demonstrates it, he shows them. By the way, you must know what it was like to walk with Jesus. Every day, throughout the day, people were getting delivered and healed. Signs and wonders were happening every day. You say, how do you know that? Well, read the end of John, the book of John. And you'll see that it says that if we had to write down all that Jesus did, there wouldn't be place enough to keep the books. That's right. 3.5 years, listen to me. Hundreds, thousands of people were dramatically touched and healed wherever he went.
Yes, that's right.
And we understand this is God. But I have to tell you, he made this statement in John 14:12. He says, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater will you do. Why?
Because I go to the Father.
We're not supposed to be working in an average realm. Listen to me. Our lives should be supernatural lives. Every man, woman, and child in this room should have a string of testimonies of the power of God working through their lives. I mean, there should be every time you've gone out in a week, you come back, you have testimonies of lives changed. Every one of you. I think Sunday morning should be a time where all the miracles that have taken place are told. I think it should be a time where all the victories we had in the financial realm. I love it, Pastor. What's his name again? Oh, sorry, Glenn, I shouldn't play. Pastor Glenn prays this lovely prayer. He says, God, I pray that where there's deals, you'll give it to them. Where there's appointments, where there's lost money. I love that one. I wonder how much I've lost over the years. You see, we should come back to church with testimonies of what God has done. Trophies of the victories out there. But you know what? We crawl in, dragging swords like... You know what I mean? Like, whew, made it by the skin of my teeth. Pastor Nick Singh, I need help. And you get your motors revved up a little bit, and Pastor Glenn stands up and preaches, and you've just got enough energy to get out there again. And ridiculous. Ridiculous. You and I should walk out of there. When we walk out of here, I said on Sunday, this should be, you are now entering your harvest field. There should be a big sign. And you and I should go out with the power of God all over us. And we should be functionally able to transform lives on a regular basis.
Yes, hallelujah.
It's demonstration. I'll show you how to do it. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll show you how to do it while you're with me. Come with me. I'll show you how to do it. And then he says, it's impartation. It's a passing on. We have lost the truth in the church by far. I believe, of the supernatural nature of relationships. I personally believe that God uniquely connects us with people. Hey, Brian. I believe that these are not chance happenings. I believe they planned in the annals of time.
Yes.
I believe God is so clever that he knows exactly who we need to cross our paths and touch our lives and accelerate us in our kingdom exploits and pursuits. And fathers are a key. And so I believe that what we have to do is not only demonstrate, we now have to say, I've told you how it works, I've shown you how it works, now I want to give you the power. Impartation.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? What's on me, I'm going to put on you. You're not so sure of this one. We had an interesting meeting many years back. Not many, probably 4 years back. In this area, Fairfield County. A place called St. Paul's Westport. I did a teaching on signs and wonders. And I taught how to move in signs and wonders. How many people were in that teaching way back there? Yeah. About 200 people were there. And when we did that teaching, do you remember? I went down the rows. And what did I do as I went down? I just laid hands on each row to receive the power of the Lord. An impartation of what's on me on them. Because I'll tell you honestly, God has put on me a real power to see signs and wonders. I don't want to carry it around all the time and be the hero. Serious. Why should I have it? Freely you've received. We've got to be a bit warped if we want to be the showpiece all the time. So I passed that on. That night, one of the ministries in this area, well-known ministry, got whacked by the power of God in the impartational moment. Went back at the one, that, by the way, people in this room go to that church. A person, I took them and I said, you come with me now. Because we've done the information, we've done the demonstration, we've done the impartation, now you've got it. All that we got to do is let you loose and watch you do it. So I called this person with me. I said, I'd like you to come with me, please. It's fantastic to watch. Because I came to the front and I said, who needs healing here? And some person said they got constant migraines, I think it was, or back problem. It doesn't really matter. And I remember this ministry reached out their hand with their eyes closed. And the power of God smacked this person like wham! And no one was expecting it. At the end of the fall, crack! Head, you know what I mean? It was like, oh. And as they looked at this, I said, keep praying. Do it. I mean, complete the job. Make sure this person, the power is all delivered. Do you understand? Make sure it's flowed out of you and it's done. Pray until you feel the release. Any of us hold our hands on people too long? Sometimes you need to turn and just say a word. It's done. Don't have to pray and pray and pray and pray. Long prayers don't heal people. Power heals people. Sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Allowing a flow from you to them. Bam. You say, well, from me. Is it me that heals? No. Christ in me. The hope of glory. That's the mystery. And so the whole rabbinic method then ends with us passing on to you functional gifts, the ability to move in signs and wonders, the ability to move in healings, the ability to move in deliverance, the ability to bring inner healing to humans' lives, a type of a healing, the ability to prophesy and move in all sorts of revelatory gifts that include dreams and visions and prophecy. Seeing. We are supernatural human beings. God speaks to us, and we should speak to others. God will give you dreams about people. God will give you visions about people. God will give you prophecies for people. So this group here, I want to tell you what you are. I know I'm giving you the introductory stuff, but I want you to know what you're going to get. We're going to do three basic things with you each night. Number one, I'm going to teach you. Number two, I'm going to, and the teaching is in the realm of bringing you an understanding of truths about who you are and how you can function in a leadership gift. Because Father's house is about bringing people into a responsible position in the kingdom. Not leadership, but they're able to take responsibility and go out and do what they have to do. The second thing I'm going to be doing with you is I'm wanting to bring you into a place where I do a ministry to you, prophetic ministry, impartational stuff. And finally, I'd like to equip you with some form of gift that by the time we finished here on the last night, you have learned how to do something. And you're able to go out there and do it. Amen. I really need more amen than that. I'm really serious, guys. I need you to connect with me tonight. I want to tell you, whether you like me or not, like me. Because it's an impartational thing. You can't receive if you don't receive me. Do you receive me tonight?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to do some stuff. And at the end of this week, You're going to have some boxing gloves on. That's going to leave some teeth coming out of demons. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you. We're going to put on some stuff. But I'm also going to expand you in who you are. It's not good enough just to go for the gifts. We've got to push who you are. We've got to get you to understand some things about what you can do. Okay. Any questions? You've got one shot at asking me questions, and then I'm going to go for it. Do you all understand what I'm saying? All right. Then I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's see how well you understand what I said. What is Jesus's last will and testimony? What does it contain? Somebody put your hand up. Don't shout at me. Go, sister. Let me help you a little bit more. It actually says, go into all the world. The problem is, we want to make all disciples of all nations from our church building. Doesn't work. We have got no calling to stay. We have got a calling to go. And at least your place to go is Jerusalem. Actually, it's spelled G-R-E-E-N-W-I-C-H. Yeah. Beyond, you might be in S-T-A-M-F-O-R-D. Whatever. That's your Jerusalem. I'm trying to impress you that from South Africa, we're not as thick as you think we are. I can spell quickly. Westport, W-E-S-T-P-F-O-R-D. Okay, so you're supposed to go to where you're planted. Whatever your job is, you carry the awesome power of the living God. Whether you know it or not, you've got it.
Yes.
And man, when you walk into work on a Monday morning after the weekend, I am telling you, when you walk in that door, demon beings know.
Yes.
If you don't know, they relax. But man, when you walk in next week and there's a glint in your eye, they're going to go, uh-oh. I'm serious. It's like that at school. It's like that at work. It's like that in restaurants. It's like that in malls, shopping centers. Wherever you walk in, I'm telling you, you're on duty. And lives are going to get impacted and changed. Okay, so first thing is, Jesus' last will and testimony is that we go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Second thing I want to ask you is, what is Jesus' method of equipping saints? Thank you. Okay, it's rabbinic. Can you tell me what it looks like? Information? Demonstrate it, yeah. That's it. Apply it. Excellent. Give him a hand. That's good stuff, buddy. By the way, application, when you do application after I've laid hands on you, and you go and do it, when you apply that, there is correction afterwards. So I go, that was good, but you don't have to shout at people to get demons out. You know what I'm saying? And try and use some feeling in your voice. In the name of Jesus, I just want to cast out this demon and tell it to leave. I mean, it's more than that. There's got to be you understand what I'm saying? There's training that's involved. I love putting people in my vehicle, driving up to our churches north of South Africa, and just watching guys who've never done anything start to move in unbelievable power and authority. So exciting. Oh, I've got to tell you, Rod, we took a guy to the Apostolic Adventure. Remember the little hill where we have break bread afterwards? You know that place, that view over it. And the guy who was with us this last trip, was it this last trip, Sarah? I don't know. I think it was one of the trips. We got up there, this guy had been bound by demonic activity in the realm of perversion for all his Christian life. And while up there, we started to pray. We got a word of knowledge of something that happened. We started to pray for him. He got delivered. He fell in those rocks. He rolled down the rocks. It was serious stuff. I mean, we were trying to hold him. His body was jerking and vibrating like you cannot believe. And set free. And he stood up and he sent me an email the other day. Rod, you know what he says? He says, Yanni, I've started a ministry to pray for guys who've been bound by perversion. And he says, demons are coming out, man. Isn't that lovely? Who the hang wants to spend the rest of our lives sitting in church? I mean, church is great. But that's where you come to... Look, chuck, full, tick, nozzle back. You understand? You're ready to go. Instruction. But man, this should be a place where we come back with stories. I mean, can you imagine this man's life? If every Sunday there are 20, 30 people just saying, we want to tell you about the miracles we had this week. Hallelujah. Application. It takes us to go and watch them do it. All right. I want to now just teach you. Then I'm going to do some training. And then we're going to do some ministry. How many of you in this room have never had prophetic work done over you? Please raise your hand. Never been prophesied over. All right. 4, 5, 6. That's great. Do you know there's a whole crowd of people here just waiting to get you? That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Come into my parlor. Along our journey, there are strategic times where God needs to talk to us. I believe God gives us directional words and says, that's where you're going. I do not believe I need a prophecy every week, nor every month. But there are strategic times when he's going to introduce something, adjust something, change something. I need to know about it ahead of time. And I believe God in his graciousness breaks into our life and does that. And so tonight we're going to see God do some breaking into our lives and giving us fresh words from his throne. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And that doesn't exclude me. You know, we make the mistake, we think that leaders never need to hear from God. We all value these things. Two people walked up to me year before last and said, we just want to tell you that your wife is going to come from Asia. I looked at them and went, catch a life. Well, I'm the one who caught one. Praise God. All right. I want to say this to you. The Bible is very clear that Christ established himself, I'm teaching now for you, this is the beginning of the teaching. Christ established himself as the head and put under his feet the whole work of darkness. In doing that, it was critical that we understand that he needed a body that he could work through to touch this world. The head's in place, the feet are in place, but the body is not in place yet. And so the whole plan was that he gathers a body and he connects that body ligament to ligament, joint to joint, so that you start to find that this body rises up as a complete man, filled with Christ, totally unified, working as one. At the moment, the body is totally spastic. You know, one piece is going this way, the other piece is going that way. I mean, nobody knows what the other piece is doing. We, you know, how many churches have we got in Greenwich, in, I can tell you, Canton, Ohio, has something like 250 churches, and they only got 300,000 people. Weird, you know. But what's supposed to happen is the body is supposed to be connected together. And the people who are supposed to do that are supposed to be fivefold ministry. That gather the saints and have a grace to connect the saints. Have a grace to equip them and enable them. To bring them into maturity. To bring them into a place of unity. I have to say to you that those gifts have got to come back to the church. We've got to see genuine apostles again. We've got to see genuine prophetic gifts again. We've got to see them, guys. If we don't see them, we won't see the body get joined as it should. It's just the way it is. And so the plan is that God is going to join this body and then bring people to a maturity. Mature them and enable them, equip them, help them to function. But that maturity is at two levels. That maturity is at the realm of their daily lives, which is called the fruit of the Spirit, and the way they treat other people and look after themselves. And the other realm is, of course, this realm of the gifts of the Spirit, the realm of the supernatural. Like two wings of a dove, there should be the fruit and the gifts. They should be moving together. And so really the whole process of equipping people and bringing people to maturity requires a systematic method of equipping. It really requires, like a tree starts out with the roots first going down. And then the little tree starts, you know, pushing through and you see the trunk and then the branches and then the fruit and the leaves on those branches. That's the same process as the development of Christians. Christians should have what we call foundations. They should be well-founded. The unfortunate part is most Christians are not well-founded. You're going to find that out in a few minutes. By the way, part of what you're doing is going to require you to do some homework. Okay? So you've got to know that your foundations are secure. Then once your foundations are good, once your belief system is settled, then from there you grow. And that is how you live life every day. We've got to be trained in daily living. We should be mentored in how to handle one another. Listen to me. Let's be honest. Living in the Christian life is not a walk in the park. The more involved you get in the body, the more complicated it becomes. Do you know what I'm talking about? People are strange. We're not strange. People are strange. And so you've got to learn to grow up with people. You've got to learn to handle people. You've got to learn to understand people. You've got to know when do you make something an issue, when don't you make something an issue. Do you know what I'm saying? This takes mentoring. It takes maturity. It takes wise people around us that look at us in the face and guide us through the process of bringing up children, working through marriage, handling sinful issues, dealing with temptation, knowing the will of God. These are the things we build into our lives to become strong, stable pillars in the house of God. We know what to do when. It's actually called righteousness. Doing the right thing at the right time. And so we need to learn how to grow not only in righteousness, but in wisdom. And so that whole process needs mentoring and developing. And what every single church environment should have is a process whereby people are put through a systematic training program through relationships. So quite clearly, I would take time with Michael, and if he was a young Christian, and I would just sit with him week after week, answer question after question, watch his workplace, watch his friends, watch him, bring him into a formation. That's why it says older men teach the younger men, older women teach the younger woman. There should be this thing within our church, but what happens is the pastor has to equip everybody. It's ridiculous. Can't do it. We should have people we've equipped. 2 Timothy 2:2. That says this, the things you've seen in me, entrust to faithful men who will be enabled to teach others. It's a process. So Paul's talking to Timothy. So think about this. Paul has got at least, we know, Paul has got at least 3 guys which he works with. Silas, Timothy, Titus. So Paul is pouring himself into 3 people. He says, Timothy, the things you've heard from me, entrust to faithful men. Is that singular or plural? Plural. That means not one. You don't work with one person at a time. You work with a couple of people at a time. So watch this. I'm pouring myself into Titus, Timothy, and Silas. Now we get to the place where Timothy takes at least 2 others. So watch this. I pour myself into 3. Timothy takes 2. Titus, I can't remember what I called you. Titus takes 2. Silas takes 2. The things you've seen in me and heard in me, entrusted faithful men, we've got them, them, and them, who will then be enabled to teach others. Okay. So now, it's 1 teaches 2 more, you teach 2 more, you teach 2 more, you teach 2 more. And they continue to train others who are growing. And you teach 2 more, and you teach. So it works like this. It's called exponential growth. 2 times 2 is? 4 times 4 is? 16 times 16 is? 256. 256 times 256. How long does this take to happen? Come on, man. You know, it's not going to take me 3 years to train you. And I train you in what? Tell me what I just told you. You got to be trained in the what? No. First. No, guys. Tree. Think tree. Roots. Foundations. First thing you want to get these people clear on is foundations. So you're sitting with them, telling them who Jesus is, what he's done on the cross. You need to get baptized. You need to get baptized in the Spirit. You need to know your power over sin. You need to know your power over the enemy. Teach. Training in the root system so I know who I am. I'm fully aware of my position in Christ. Can you imagine if this is going on in the church? People are literally given material, and they know through the relationships they form that's their responsibility to bring people to maturity. I was speaking in this church on Sunday, and I was saying that 2 men got a hold of me in my early Christian life, and they absolutely did not ask me whether I wanted it or desired it. They grabbed me and dragged me kicking to church meetings. 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. Listen, Saturdays are precious days. They are days where you do the things you've always wanted to do. Like sleep. I agree with you 100%. 4 o'clock in the morning, dragged out of my bed, taken to a prayer meeting. Who wants to sit in a prayer meeting? I've just got born again. I don't want to get nailed with this stuff all the time. Sitting in the prayer meeting, and as soon as the prayer meeting is finished, they are gone. So off I go home. I get home. My home is open. Eggs and bacon is cooking. Toast is being made. They've taken over my house. Now they're going to sit with me and find out how my week went. They want to know, what did I battle with? What sins are a problem? How did I handle relational conflict? The word says this, Yanni. The word says this, Yanni. The word says this, Yanni. The word says this. Where's your book, Yan? It's in the bedroom. Go and fetch it. Write down what we tell you. I mean, I just sit there writing. God, these guys. I think they had this complex that they were like major teachers. Thank God. Because they formed my trunk. Do you understand? They were fathers to me. They loved me. Nothing was too much. They were always around me. Let me tell you, the development of a human being requires relationship and constant association. I'm not talking about living on each other's doorstep, but there has to be regular times of connecting where you don't just sit and talk about the funny things that happened in the week. You plan to equip them where? In the realm of their growing, their trunk. They're grounded, they're growing. And that's where we come to the place where we then get you gifted. We find what your gift is. We equip you in your gift so that you're able to go and do things. Isn't that terrible? We get to then. How would you feel when you die to stand before the Lord and you have no testimony? No testimony of how the power of God has used you over the years. You know the story of Matthew 25? The talents we have to be used. If they're not used, we're in trouble. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not well prayed, not well desired, well wished, well done. What have you done? I'm serious with you guys. What have you done? Oh, well, you know, if you had to know how busy my life was, please listen to me. It takes no time to speak to somebody on a bus, on a train. It takes no time to stop for a second at a counter, a checkout counter, and bring a prophetic word to a broken heart. It takes no time. I live this stuff. I'm telling you now. Don't tell me you're too busy. The question is, are you ready to do it? Are you equipped to do it? Well, then it goes on to the place where we get equipped. And the whole plan about being equipped, ladies and gentlemen, the branches, is that they go beyond our region, beyond our normal sphere, into the lives of others. People find shade under our tree. People find fruit from our branches. We become life, a source of life to a hurting, dying world. And that's how we should be living. But tonight I have to tell you something. Most of us are not sure on what we believe. I'll give you an example quickly. How many of you can give me three scriptures quickly? Three scriptures on the finished work of Christ. What did the finished work of Christ accomplish for you? Three scriptures. Who can give me three scriptures? Think for a few seconds. How many of you can do that? Pastor Glenn is not included. Okay. One more try. How many of you can give me three scriptures on that? All right. Next question. How many of you can give me three scriptures on the need for baptism or the effect of baptism in water? You can? One. How many of you can give me three scriptures on baptism in the Holy Spirit and the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Final question. How many of you can give me three scriptures on dealing with sin and our ability to overcome sin? One. I've just tested your root system. If we do not know what we believe, how can we teach somebody else? Guys, it continues. Give me three scriptures on dealing with demons, our victory over demons. Do you understand? Listen, if we do not know what we believe, we cannot have victory in that area because we have no life. We have no information. The word, faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing.
By the word.
If you don't have the word in you, how are you going to face life's biggest challenges? How are you going to overcome in the time of testing? If you don't take this seriously, you're not going to be ready to do the work out there. So what's your homework? You've got to find three scriptures on the finished work of Christ, what it accomplished. You've got to find three scriptures on baptism in water and its importance. Three scriptures on baptism in the Holy Spirit and its importance. Three scriptures on dealing with sin and the victory that's ours in that. And lastly, three scriptures on our victory over the devil. That is just scratching the surface, by the way. You should all know that. That is just basic. I really pray you don't feel condemned. But I do hope you feel like somebody put a foot in your ear and pressed it a little bit. So that you get pushed to be more than just a listener. Church is not supposed to be the first part of the rabbinic ministry, which is information. Church is supposed to be demonstration and application. We should challenge you on what you're doing. I found the greatest way of learning is not hearing, but teaching. Do you understand that? So I'm going to really become good. I mean, imagine, Paula, if I grabbed you and said, Sister, I would like you, I've got five women, I would like you to train them for the next 5 weeks in becoming overcomers in the area of sin, circumstances, and demonic activity. Starting tomorrow night. Paula would not sleep tonight. But I'll tell you what, when she's finished teaching them, she will have the material in her. It won't be outside anymore in a Bible. It'll be in her life. That's the key. Guys, Father's house is about you knowing what you believe. We've not finished. Tomorrow night we're doing a whole lot more. So actually I'm asking you to have this ready by tomorrow night. Otherwise, you don't want to keep getting piled up with homework, do you? And don't hand it in to me. Just be honest. Just be honest. If you told me when we started, you are committed to work with me. If you are, then I expect it by tomorrow night. And by the way, it's not hard. That what I've given you is a piece of old tacky. It might be nice to open the Bible again. I'm just being honest. See, this is what keeps us from making it. Nobody looks at us in the face and tells us what's really going on. And so tonight, I want to say to you, last bit of teaching, we're going to then do some practical training and we're going to do some prophetic work. Time is going. Man, are you hot? I am like seriously hot. Okay. Don't do anything with the Don't worry. It's me. I sweat for nothing. Folk, I want to tell you there are 10 things that make up an outstanding worker for the Lord. 10 things that make up an outstanding worker for the Lord. I'm going to go through them quickly because they're information to you and you need to know them. I found that most things, most churches, most parachurch organizations require one thing. They require gift and skill. They do no homework into the background of a human being. They don't really know who they're dealing with. They hire people based on what they've done in the past, but they really have not checked the whole person. We spoke here about being complete. I want to suggest at least 10 things that I think are critical if we're going to be a worker for the Lord. Number one, we absolutely have to be well-versed in the Word of God. You must be well-versed in the Word of God. What is the point of trying to teach others if you don't know what the Word says? You must be well-versed in the Word of God. I want to tell you, you and I should regularly study. There should be topical studies we do every single week of our lives. We should study the blood. We should study the name. We should study the names of Jesus. We should study the names of God. We should study the whole thing of authority. We should study how to overcome. Name it. You should study and know what the Word says. Is study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy 3:16. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.